Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to worship with you here in person and also online on this another day the Lord has made. He has given us plenty of reason to rejoice and be glad in it, for his mercies remain fresh and new. And so when it comes to this God, the God of the Bible, what is it that we can learn about him? Well, there's plenty, right? Including the fact that he is a loving God, John 3:16, that he is a just God, Exodus 34, that he is three distinct persons, yet one God, Genesis 1, Matthew 28, for a couple of examples of that. The point is, the more we get to know this God as he has revealed himself to us through the Bible, the better off we will be for this life and what comes next. More on that during our hour of worship as we glorify our great God. On this Sunday in the church year, we call Trinity Sunday, a Sunday which specifically provides even more details about the identity of our God and the great things he does for us. With that in mind, we turn our attention to the invocation on page 3 of our worship bulletin. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty.
My soul yearns even face for the courts of the Lord.
Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you.
There is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere.
I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God, then dwell in the tents of the wicked.
O Lord Almighty, blessed are they who trust in you.
Let us go rejoicing to the house of the Lord.
Thank you.
Please stand. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him.
This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins.
If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us.
If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not faith, we may not be a liar and his word is not in us.
God invites us to come into his presence and worship him with humble and penitent hearts. Therefore, let us acknowledge our sinfulness and ask him to forgive us.
Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins. And trusting in my Savior Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner.
God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given his only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, hear the word of Christ through his called servant. All your sins are forgiven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The works of the Lord are great and glorious. His name is worthy of praise. Almighty God and Father, dwelling in majesty and mystery, filling and renewing all creation by your eternal Spirit, and manifesting your saving grace through our Lord Jesus Christ.
In mercy, cleanse our hearts and lips, that free from doubt and fear, we may ever worship you, one true and immortal God, with your Son and the Holy Spirit, living and reigning now and forever.
On this first Sunday after Pentecost, Trinity Sunday, a reading from Holy Scripture, Genesis chapters 1 and 2, one God, three distinct persons, eternal, powerful, perfect, that is our God. We hear these words. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day.
And God said, "Let there be a wall between the waters to separate water."
And God said, Let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let dry ground appear. And it was so. God called the dry ground land, and the gathered waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, Let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds. And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning the third day. Two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set them in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning the fourth day. And God said, Let the water teem with living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the vault of the sky. So God created the great creatures of the sea and every living thing with which the water teems and that moves about in it, according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them and said, Be fruitful and increase in number, and fill the water in the seas, and let the birds increase on the earth. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, Let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, the livestock, the creatures that move along the ground, and the wild animals, each according to its kind. And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good.
Then God said, Let us see.
So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds in the sky and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so.
God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day.
Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We continue with our hymn. Sing it as noted on the bottom of page 7. The hymn is on page 8.
Oh,
One God, three distinct persons, each one has a role with us in mind. A reading from Holy Scripture, 2 Corinthians 13. Finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice, strive for full restoration, encourage one another, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All God's people here send their greetings. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You're invited to stand for the gospel reading. Scripture, the gospel of St. Matthew, the 28th chapter, one God, three distinct persons. This is what we believe. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." This is the word of the Lord. Please be seated as we turn now to our hymn of the day.
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace remain yours in great abundance. And this is possible thanks to God our Father and our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as well as by the Holy Spirit who works that faith in Jesus that we need in us and keeps it there by the means of grace. Focus of Scripture this morning from Genesis. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. This is God's word, we pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed by that rock and redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, who thankfully opens our eyes every day to the beauty of creation that he is responsible for, together with the Father and the Holy Spirit. Who here has counted the stars? And if you have taken the time to try to count the stars, how many have you come up with? Did you catch them all? Or how many of us have explored the depths of the ocean or explored the vastness of space? I mean, people have gone pretty deep in the oceans, and people have gone pretty far in space, and yet we still have not reached the limits. We never will, perhaps, as long as this world endures. God continues to marvel us again and again, and unfortunately, though, the people of this world do not give God the credit for the depths of the oceans that continue to be discovered, and the life that is in those oceans, going, how could life live in such a dark place? Wow, God is amazing. And then the vastness of space. We think we discovered it all, and then all of a sudden something else comes to light. God never stops giving human beings something to marvel at. But again, unfortunately, we as human beings don't always give God the credit and don't always marvel at such things. Now, when you get a moment to sit outside after cleaning the house or watching your spouse or somebody else clean the house for you, or after a long day of work, when you get a moment to just relax outside, what is it that you can come to appreciate as you take a look around? Discarding the nosy and noisy neighbors, what do you appreciate? We're talking creation. Maybe it's not outside, but maybe it is something inside your home, or maybe it's a particular action of an individual, how they're able to do something, or maybe it's a building that grabs your attention, or some invention that causes you to marvel. Well, as we marvel at whatever it is, the skills, the invention, the buildings, a question needs to come to mind. How and when did the materials and or the talents for whatever, whoever it is, come to exist? We want to marvel at what we see, but let's take a moment to look beyond what we see. And how did what we see get there? How much of creation do you and I, and really all human beings, how much do we take for granted? You know, we live in a beautiful state. Some could say second to none. The view through Sierra, breathtaking. When you go to the ocean, the vastness of God is on display. But how much of that do we tend to take for granted? Ah, another beautiful view. Ah, another overlook. Ah, another wave. All part of God's creation. which we should marvel at again and again. Now, some of what we see has been touched up by human hands. I mean, there is beautiful landscape, skyscrapers and apartment buildings and statues and this and that. Some have some beauty to it. But there again, we have to ask, what's beyond what we see? Where and how and when did the materials and everything that has the ability to put those things together come from? Well, there is an answer. The answer is before us. There is a source, and we know who that source is by the grace of God and the working of the Spirit. It is the God of the Bible, the God who has given us science and math and gravity and space and depths and atoms and neutrons and DNA and. He's given it all. Look around, dear friends. It's no accident what we see. What has been put there? There was and is a design. Now we are talking deeper than the placement of sidewalks and light poles. We are talking about the air we breathe and the oceans we travel on and so much more. God has been busy. We read about his busyness in Genesis. In other places of Scripture, we see his busyness, whether we recognize it or not at the time, every day. He's been busy. Genesis starts out, God reminds us that he is the one who has created what we see and everything else. It's unique to him, the ability to create. There really then is really nothing new to be created. Everything that exists comes from what God created in those days. We review the days, right, quickly, right? There was nothing. And God said, let there be. There was light. And then there's land, and then there's waters that have been separated by the land, and then there's things that go on the land, vegetation and animals and birds and so forth, all in order, in God's great order. In 6 normal days. There's no indication anywhere in Scripture to take the day of Genesis 1 and 2 and interpret it to be 1,000 years per day, so that it took 6,000 years, or it took 1,000,000 years or billions of years. It's interesting, right, how the human interpretation keeps changing. Thousands, millions, billions. Sometimes it's 40, sometimes it's 100. But God's word remains consistent. 6 24-hour days. And on the seventh, he rested. This again is where we have to appreciate the mind that God has created and given to us, the ability to think and rationalize and compute. But even though we cannot comprehend how God could create all that in 6 24-hour days, doesn't mean it's not so. We then need to submit to God and his word of truth. But there's the rub. I, a human being, am not going to submit to God Almighty, because my size 10 head thinks it's bigger and smarter than God, who, if he had a head, there would not be a hat big enough to put on it. Appreciate the fact, again and again, that God, the God of the Bible, created this world the way he did, for us. And what did he say about his creation as he took a step back, so to speak? It was good. And really, when you take a step back and you still look at creation, it is good. And then on day 6, in addition to the land animals, what else did God create? Human beings. There was male and there was female. We'll just let that soak in. And they were created in the image of God. Not physical image, right? But they were in sync with God, the Creator. What He wanted is what they wanted. He did not create robots. He wants praise from the heart. And so He created human beings who would give Him praise from the heart. And it was good. That's hard for us to imagine at times, how human beings could really actually be perfect and in sync with God. The earth, everything in it, was ready for human occupancy. Now, when God created the world, and after the sixth day, and on the seventh day He rested, that doesn't mean He rested from taking care of this world, right? We know that. He continues to preserve this world, and He has put things in order, even when we human beings mess up. I mean, it's amazing, not that we want to spill oil in the oceans, but the organisms that are in the oceans that help clean up the oil. Or when fires take place, what comes afterwards? All by design. God is good, and He remains good, even in spite of us, who were not good. Because it's not God who messed up creation. It's we who messed up the creation. And then people will ask, well, if He's such an all-knowing, smart God, why did He allow Adam and Eve to mess up? And while we may not have a perfect answer for that, we leave it to God's infinite wisdom to not reveal every little jot and detail we would like to know, but tells us what we need to know. Again, He did not create robotic praise, but praise from the heart. He gave Adam and Eve an opportunity to show their love and appreciation for their creation, just as He gives you and me an opportunity day in and day out to show our love and appreciation to God and for what He has created. And unfortunately, Adam and Eve, unfortunately for them and for us, they got greedy. As we get greedy, and because of that greed, we fail to appreciate what God puts before us. That is, if we even acknowledge God. How many people do you know in your circle of friends, acquaintances, who do not acknowledge the existence of God or give God the credit for bringing this world into order? That it happened by two 747s colliding together, and all of a sudden, boom, there was the Concorde. That's not how the Concorde was built, right? People will use the example of two atoms spinning in opposite directions, and all of a sudden they hit, and then boom, all of a sudden now there were frogs, and those frogs became apes, and then those apes became human beings, and those human beings will probably turn back to tadpoles. Who knows their logic, which is illogical. Chaos does not bring about order. God is a God of order. Everything was created orderly. And because God is a God of order, even though we human beings have messed it up, there still is order at the core. And so things continue to exist for our benefit. The proof is before us. The psalmist says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, display His handiwork." Again, where did all this come from? Just by chance? Just by accident? Look around. It's not by accident. It's by God's design. And also by God's design is the remedy to the sin that Adam and Eve created, and we then are also subject to that sinful nature in us, as well as in the actual sins that we commit. He promised and made good on that promise of sending a Savior who came in human flesh, lived among us for a time, lived the life we cannot live, died the death that we should have died, and from that cross declared, "It is finished, sin has been paid for, you are forgiven, not by what you do, but by what I have done for you." And the Holy Spirit takes that verdict and makes it ours personally through the means of grace. It is not a decision we bring upon ourselves, for by nature we are dead to God, but the Spirit makes us alive. The importance of the means of grace, the importance of God's remedy. And as we recognize then God's remedy for our salvation, all the more we're to recognize God is the author of all life. He is the creator of all things. Not the evil, but the good. So let's give it up for God. God has been busy and remains busy. Let's give it up for Him by glorifying Him, recognizing Him as the first commandment says, that there are no other gods. All other gods are human made. This is the God who we humans have not made, but has made us. And then as the prophet Isaiah says, do you want to worship a God that you have made or a God that has made you? Which God can really help you through the thick and thin of life? But the God who has fearfully and wonderfully made you and sent His Savior to redeem you and gives you the Spirit to sanctify you. Thus, God, help us fear and love and trust in Him above all things. Let us praise Him. Give it up for God, praising Him. This is the reason why we were created in the first place. Again, Adam and Eve, praise Him by obeying that simple command in a sense. You and I, every opportunity, day in and day out, we have to praise Him. In view of God's mercy, Romans says, offer your bodies as living sacrifices. Not just formal worship like we're doing now, but everything we do is to be considered an act of worship. A way to praise God, our Creator. How many people around us don't see God the Creator through us? Because we're not really talking about God the Creator. We're not appreciating the things that are around us. We too have become numb to the technology and the inventions around us and not really talk about where such has come from. I mean, simple conversations, lead-in conversations to find out where people are at in a relationship with God, or to encourage them in their relationship with God. A non-threatening way to talk about creation and work it in how it came to be and what it all means. And you know, as you buy a new piece of clothing and you're not sure, like with the material, how to wash it, what do you look for? You look for that little tag, right? It comes with instructions. Men, instructions, right? Sorry. Just seeing if you're still listening. God has provided instructions as well to care for His creation. He has given us the opportunity to be good stewards, managers. And so, yes, God is not into the abusing of creation, but rather to take care of it. We want to keep the water and the air clean, not because of Buddha or someone else, or because it makes us feel good, but because this is God's creation. And a result of taking care of God's creation can be a good feeling. But our primary motive is love for God, and that's how we praise Him and give it up for Him. He is the owner. Even if you got your house paid for, the dirt and everything else is still His. Because of sin, we are subject to death and decay. But because of Jesus, we got something better to look forward to. Something permanent. And that too is all because of God. God help us then, through the work of the Spirit in us, speak up about who God is and what He has done for us, the beauty of creation, to not take it for granted, to tell them then, yes, there are problems and issues with this world, not because that's how God created it, but because we went against God's will for us. But thankfully, He has had mercy on us. And what did He do for us in that mercy? We can tell as well. He is the God of creation. He is the God who holds us accountable. He is the God who calls us to take care of His creation. He is the God who calls us to help others, lead others to acknowledge Him. As we point out, look around. It's not by accident. And as we do that, pray that the Holy Spirit works in them the same conviction that He has worked in you. God, You are our Creator and our Redeemer and our Sanctifier. Look around. It's not by accident. Amen. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. We now join in a confession of faith, the Athanasian Creed. It begins for us in the bottom of page 10, and it ends with a statement that sometimes causes some people to go, what? But faith is not something that's supposed to be inactive. Faith is to be active. And how do we know it's active? Through works, through fruits. So while those fruits do not say, they give evidence that faith is there. We join bottom of page 10. Please read the embolded words. Whoever wishes to be saved must, above all else, hold to the true Christian faith.
Whoever does not keep this faith pure in all things will certainly perish forever.
Now this is the true Christian faith.
We worship one God.
For each person, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is distinct.
But the deity of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is one, equal in glory and co-eternal.
What the Father is, so is the Son, and so is the Holy Spirit. The Father is uncreated, the Son uncreated, the Holy Spirit uncreated. The Father is infinite, the Son infinite, the Holy Spirit infinite. The Father is eternal, the Son eternal, the Holy Spirit eternal.
Yet they are not three who are eternal, but there is one who is eternal. Just as there are not three who are uncreated, nor three who are infinite, but there is one who is uncreated, and one who is infinite.
In the same way, the Father is almighty, the Son is almighty, the Holy Spirit is almighty. So the Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God.
Yet there are not three gods, but one God.
So the Father is Lord, the Son is Lord, the Holy Spirit is Lord.
Yet there are not three lords, but one Lord.
For just as Christian truth compels us to confess each person individually to be God and Lord, the Father is neither made nor created nor begotten of anyone. The Son is neither made nor created, but is begotten of the Father alone. The Holy Spirit is neither made nor created nor begotten, but proceeds from the Father and the Son.
So there is one Father, not three fathers, one Son, not three sons, one Holy Spirit, not three spirits.
And within this Trinity, none comes before or after, none is greater or inferior. So that in every way, as stated before, all three persons are to be worshipped as one God, and one God worshipped as three persons.
Thank you.
It is furthermore necessary for eternal salvation truly to believe that our Lord Jesus Christ also took on human flesh. Now this is the true Christian faith.
We believe and confess that our Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, is both God and man.
He is God, eternally begotten from the nature of the Father, and he is man, born in time from the nature of his mother, fully God, fully man, with rational soul and human flesh.
Be equal to the Father as to his deity, less than the Father as to his man.
And though he is both God and man, Christ is not two persons but one.
One, not by changing the deity of the flesh, but by taking the humanity of God.
One, indeed, not by mixture of the natures, but by unity in one person. He suffered for our salvation, descended into hell, rose the third day from the dead.
He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty.
At his coming, all people will rise with their own bodies to answer for their personal deeds. This is the true Christian faith.
Whoever does not faithfully and firmly believe this cannot be saved.
And so God be praised for the opportunity to share this conviction about who he is and what he has done and continues to do for us through our thank offerings. God be praised that those offerings are bearing fruit here in the United States and throughout the world. And as we learned recently, Wells Global will most likely in the next couple of years, outnumber Wells U.S., which means potentially our pastors in the U.S. could come from Wells Global. What a cool thing. The Great Commission at work, we pray. Almighty God, we praise you and honor your holy name for your numerous acts of love and mercy on behalf of your people. We rejoice in the knowledge that he is our advocate before your throne and that he intercedes for us in all our needs.
Send your Holy Spirit to enlighten our minds with understanding and knowledge of your heavenly truths.
Give to all who serve your holy church a full measure of your grace that Christ may be confessed, his cross uplifted, and his gospel declared as the only way to eternal life. Bless all parents that they may be wholesome examples to their children.
May they teach their children to love you, to practice virtue, to desire to pursue instruction in your word, and to serve your church and all people.
Hear the prayers of all who are afflicted. In the quiet hour of the night, when they are weighed down with pain, loneliness, and anxiety, bring them strength and hope by assuring them that your love endures, your power overcomes, and your presence remains constant.
Dear Savior,
O rich the gifts you bring, yourself made poor and weak, O love beyond expression that thus can sinners seek. For this, O Lord, will we our joyous offerings bring you, and glad praises sing to you, ever grateful we will be. Birthdays are another reminder of how special our life is, as you, Lord, are the one who has given us this life. Move us to view one another as gifts from you. Continue to refresh in body and soul those celebrating a birthday this week. Continue to bless the couples among us who are celebrating a wedding anniversary. Renew their love for one another as they reflect on your great love for them. Hear us now, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. As we leave this hour of worship, we give all glory to Jesus.
To him be praise, honor, and glory, and power, now and forever. Amen.
And we also pray,
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today
we continue now with the sacrament, lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. pray. Hear the prayer of your people, O Lord, that the lips which have praised you here may glorify you in the world, that the eyes which have seen the coming of your Son may long for his coming again, and that all who have received in his true body and blood the pledge of your forgiveness may be restored to live a new and holy life through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Brothers and sisters, go in peace. Live in harmony with one another. Serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. Look around, you are no accident. God be praised for that in so many respects. Just to highlight, we're starting a new Bible study series today here in the church proper. We're looking at the Gospel of Matthew. The last time we looked through the Gospel of Matthew, something we won't mention hit us as a country, and so most of it was done online. So we'll recap some of what we did online and then get into the stuff we didn't get to a few years back. And Sunday school starting out in the chapel at 9:15. Everyone's welcome to start there and sing some songs till 9:30. Bible studies comes here. Coffee and treats are available in the lobby. See the weekly news for the things that are going on here at church and school. We had graduation this past Wednesday. So it was neat how they were able to use the patio area for fellowship, and we're thankful that it was done so that they can use it. It's not completely done. There's still a lot of little work to be done there and everywhere else on campus. So if you're looking to volunteer, if you have some extra time to help beautify the campus during the week or on weekends, just let us know. We'll happy to use your hands, eyes, legs, and back, and you name it. Thank you for that. And then don't forget, first Sunday of the month, LWMS Mission Box Offering Opportunity. Just a comment, I don't want to get this too long, but those Mission Box Offerings do great work locally here in the United States and also globally as we support home missions and world missions. And we're not looking to establish Wells missions throughout the world, but partnerships throughout the world. And those partnerships, man, God is just blessing us with more and more partnerships. Synod and Convention meets every 2 years. This summer they meet in convention. We're looking to welcome into fellowship two more church bodies. And then also maybe if you watched Call Day from the seminary this recently, we're sending a missionary to the Philippines. We have some activity there already. And now that's being formalized, same with London and so forth. So, I mean, God is good, opening doors, like we said, expanding numbers where Wells Global will soon outnumber us in the U.S. So mixed emotions on that, right? Part of that is because we're declining, but may the Spirit still work through us to increase the numbers here so more people are in heaven. Have a great day.